This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Does your family's genealogy make any reference to their relationship with Jesus Christ? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in this week when we shall celebrate your ascension into heaven, we thank you that before their very eyes, when you were lifted up, you said, "Now go and tell the story of Christ and his love to the entire world." To the entire world, not to just a section, but to all people. Father, where we have been slothful in carrying out this commission, we ask for your forgiveness. But where it has been done in a dynamic way, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you use people, not only those early disciples, but those right down to our day, who are faithfully telling the story of Jesus and his love. May we be faithful to that on this radio program today, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Israel, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back again in the same way. You have seen him go into heaven. Here ends the reading of the Scriptures.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free.
Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me.
Friends in Christ, on Thursday of this week, the Church will celebrate Ascension Day. While Ascension Day is not emphasized as much as Christmas, Easter, and even Pentecost, it is a day we need to celebrate. For it was on that day that Jesus met with his disciples for a commissioning service. And right then he was lifted up before their very eyes. It was closure as far as his earthly ministry was concerned. It was on that day Jesus said to his friends, all is now ready. Go and tell the world that there is salvation for them by grace through faith in me alone. Because they went, we believe. Any person who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ would thank God that those early disciples obeyed their Lord and they went. Jesus' work, his redeeming work, had been completed. The angels had come to the shepherds and they had said, don't be afraid, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so the child was born, and at Christmas time, we celebrated that great incarnation. And then Jesus grew up, and he spent many years in Nazareth, right there in the carpenter shop. When he was 30 years old, he embarked on the ministry that God had sent him into this world to do. One of the first things that he did was to choose his 12 disciples. And there he tried to give them the best training that he could possibly give to them, experiences that they would know. They saw him teach. They saw him suffer. They saw him die. They saw him resurrected. And now, in front of their very eyes, they saw him go on to heaven. On that day, Jesus said to them, "All is now ready, so you go. Tell this world what you experienced with me. Tell them what I taught you when we're in Samaria." And the woman came for water. Go and tell them that there is such a thing as the forgiveness of sins, even for a person who has lived in open sin of adultery. Go and tell your fellow men around the world what happened in Jericho. Go and tell them about Zacchaeus, how he was hated by the people of his day because he had stolen from them with too high a taxation. Go and tell them how Zacchaeus had a conversion. And in the morning, he was anxious to make this announcement to the people that if I have stolen from any of you, I want to restore it fourfold. And the half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. Go and tell them what I said then, as it is recorded in the 19th chapter of Luke, verse 10, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Go and tell them what you learned at Bethany. When we got there that day, and those two ladies were so distraught, their brother Lazarus had died, and they were sad, they were weeping, their friends had come to be with them. And I announced to them that I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Tell it. Tell it. You become vessels through which the gospel flows to needy people around the world. That was the message. Now the question has to be asked, what would have happened if the disciples had not gone? You know, it's so easy to sit and meditate, be it in church or a Bible study or a small group or wherever life may find us, on some of these glorious things that Jesus told. But then when we're done with that study or when we're done with that worship service, here is his command to those who know him. Now, if you go to those things and you don't know him, he's first got to bring you into the kingdom. But when you know him, how easy it is to say, good sermon, go out and get some coffee with some friends or even have brunch if you went to an early service, and then you're off for another day. Well, what if Peter and Andrew, James and John, and all the rest on that ascension day had taken that route? What if they had said, we're going back to our fishing trade. In some ways, we think that we really wasted some time. But you know, to be with him for those 3 years was really an experience we'll never forget. And we'll have a great story to tell to our families, and it will appear in our genealogies. What if Matthew had said, you know, I was a pretty good tax collector, and I think the Romans appreciated me. And I think that they might invite me to come back. And I could be a tax collector again and go on earning a lot of money. I probably wouldn't do it the same way that I did. I'd be a little bit more honest because Jesus certainly made his impression on me. But this idea now of going to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, that doesn't quite turn me on. I'm kind of a family man. And I'm going to carry my relationship with Jesus in a very quiet manner. If somebody wants to know what I learned from him, I'll be glad to tell them. But I'm not going to initiate the conversation, and And I don't know if you can wear your Christianity on your sleeve. Well, this is the way that it went. Or did it? No, it didn't. Those disciples knew that all had been done, and now it was their turn to go out and to tell the story of Jesus Christ. And so that gospel was given not only to a group of people of one particular nationality, the Jews in that day, but it was to be given to the entire world. Go and make disciples of all the nations, Jesus said. And that means that they carried it. We don't know exactly where they went. We know that some stayed in Jerusalem, one some evidently out into other parts of Judea and Samaria. But some went to the other parts of the earth, and as we've talked about it lately, they say that Thomas probably got into India. Well, wherever they got to Rome. We know that Paul and Peter were in Rome, and there they died. It got up into Europe, and in our particular cases, it probably got up into that central part of Europe and up into Scandinavia, into Germany, into England, and France, and some of those places. And the message of Jesus Christ was heard, and it was passed on from one generation to the next. And finally, in my particular case, a fellow by the name of St. Ansgar got it over into Scandinavia, where some of my early relatives were, and they heard the gospel, and they brought it here to the United States, and they built their little houses. And as a result of that, I had Christian father and mother, and they told me about Jesus and that he had died for my sins. It had become a part of our genealogy when such and such a church was established and this relative received Christ as Savior and Lord. All of that happened, friend, because the disciples took Jesus very seriously on that ascension day when he was lifted up in front of their very eyes. So hearing that message, the Holy Spirit was there with the message and empowered the people. Your relatives and mine, if they're Christian, and it spoke to the hearts, and they came to faith in Christ. And so here we are today proclaiming the same gospel because the early disciples took it seriously, and many after them did the same thing. It might not have been the first person who spoke to them that brought about the conversion. No, it could very well have been a real struggle for some. If you are here today and listening to what I'm saying and you're not a Christian, that is, you're a person, you may belong to the church, but you're not a Christian, you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, your life is not committed to him. Perhaps there are many people who have shared the gospel with you, either directly or indirectly, either face-to-face or what you might have heard on the radio or television or read in a book. And as yet, you have not been ready to accept it. Even though the Holy Spirit would love to have empowered you, you took a look at the cross and you had said probably, well, someday, but now, not now. Here it is again, in these feeble words of this program. Here is the gospel. Jesus Christ came into this world to die for your sin. Outside of Christ, you are lost. Outside of Christ, you walk through life on your own. If you will but receive Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven. You will be restored into a personal fellowship with God, and you will live eternally with him. Now, that's a simple presentation of a fantastic message, but it is a gospel. Could this be the day, even though many people had pleaded with you in the same way? Maybe a God-fearing grandma, grandpa, father, and mother, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, whoever it might be, could this be the day when that gospel suddenly is used by the Holy Spirit and you say, wow, that is for me. I can't get along without him. Many people have come to me after their conversions when I was preaching regularly at that wonderful congregation. And they have said, you know, your preaching has changed. Well, I was interested, but I'd heard it so often that I said, what way? I never heard you preach about the lost and salvation in Jesus Christ alone. And then I would sometimes say to them, what has happened to you? And I would have learned that here was a church person who had been awakened. The preaching hadn't changed, but suddenly the Holy Spirit had taken that word, and they now knew who Jesus was. Now all was ready as far as they were concerned, and they were to go and tell it to others. It may not be a great preacher like Billy Graham or others who we have in our day. It may be a very simple little church where you belong. But there in that church, you hear the gospel every Sunday. And here, finally, it touches your lips. It may be from some who are lay people, never have been ordained. We're seeing a lot of that today, and I have to admit that I wondered, well, is it right for these lay people? They are not theologically trained. What if they get some doctrinal errors into their presentation? But I'm learning from the members in the congregation where I belong that some of the greatest preaching they're hearing is from, and we have good preachers in our church too, but with that, some of the greatest preaching that they're getting is from lay people. A little girl in my confirmation class many years ago met me in Walmart the other day. She said, Pastor, I've just come home from a mission trip abroad. And I said, would you like to be a world missionary? I'm really open to it, she said. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day. But our Lord Jesus Christ has said, you just go. I have ascended into heaven. While I was here, I completed the work. Now it's time. Keep on studying the word. But now it is time for you to get off the seat and go and tell the story. And as he told the early disciples, so he tells you and me. I give you two promises. The promise is this: I will be with you always to the end of the age. And here is the other one. Why do you stand here looking into the skies? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. In other words, he's promised that he's coming back. Coming back one day to judge the whole world, or coming back one day to receive you and me. That's a marvelous, marvelous gospel. All is ready. Now will you not tell the story to others? Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that we may understand that all is now ready. You have schooled us in your word. May we go and share it with others. Help us to understand, O God, that the excitement in this world, the excitement in the word, in the church, is when the Holy Spirit takes some word that we have spoken and makes it a living truth in the lives of those who are yet in darkness. And God, we pray for those who long to know you better, but for some strange reason stand outside of your kingdom. Give them grace to receive this message and make your church faithful in telling it carefully. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May our hearts be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. To help meet our obligations for increased radio station costs, the Christian Crusaders Board has initiated the GEM Club, Gift Every Month program, as an invitation to help listeners make a monthly contribution. We invite you to become a Christian Crusaders GEM Club support member. With your help, we would like to restore radio stations that were recently discontinued for financial reasons and expand the ministry with the message of the gospel. Would you please consider a monthly gift of $5, $10, $15, $20, or more dollars per month? Please call or email our office for further information. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Our email address is cc@naz.org. That's cc@naz.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.